You know, I'm so excited about the Christmas play. I told my son, Will, and he goes, well, Dad, you could play Scrooge. I said, why do you say that? Ha, ha, ha. Okay, so we'll leave it right there. But anyway, looking forward to it. Man, we're going to have a great time. Pastor Paul Knowles, he's been over to that church, how many years, 35? He is a soccer coach, too, and he had a big soccer camp over in Fiji. And the kids just love, soccer over there is called football, but over there they just love soccer. So it was an amazing guy. I think you really like his ministry. I want to conclude my series tonight on the goodness of God. And God's goodness is a reality. It's not something that maybe will happen. It's a reality. And I want to talk specifically tonight. I'm going to kind of go in a little different direction with this. I want to talk about principles to live in the goodness of God. You know, it's one thing, we're surrounded by the goodness of God, but there are principles of goodness that keep us connected to the goodness. If I suddenly decide to go evil, then I'm not going to experience the goodness of God. And I want to talk about how not only to have the goodness of God around me, but how to live principles of goodness. You know, there are principles. We're to live by the principles God has established. And too many times, sometimes emotion tries to get in and cause us not to do the principles of God's goodness. But I want to talk about that tonight. And I want to use 3 John 1 and verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. John tells us here that we are to follow goodness. Well, following goodness is not just, okay, Lord, I'm waiting for your next good thing to happen to me. I can't follow unless I have a principle to follow. Principles give us the ground roots or give us the highway to walk in the goodness of God. You know, when my wife and I took over the Pittston Church many years ago, it had divided and it was like 25 people there and we had two small children. They didn't have much money to pay us and we needed a van. We prayed, Lord, we want to get a red van. Would you give us a red van? And someone in the church, we went to them. They had a car lot and everything. And so we go there, and they have a red van there. And so we make the first payment. Barely could pay the first payment, you know. And thank God for the van. And a couple weeks later, or a month later, we went to make the next payment. And when we went there, he says, you know what? God told me just to give you the van. You don't have to make any more payments. You know, sometimes we don't always recognize God's goodness because it seems to come through a natural element or maybe someone we know. But I'm convinced that when you're a child of God, every good and every perfect gift is from God. And we kind of want to say, well, all the spiritual gifts, of course, but a gift is more than just a spiritual gift. Amen. Someone coming up to you and speaking to you kindness and encouragement when you are down is a good gift. And I don't think we totally understand the reality we're learning about the goodness of God as a child of God. It's not that the sinner cannot be in the goodness of God because they're surrounded by the goodness of God, but they haven't accepted Christ for the door to open for the goodness of God to be a reality to them. So I'm going to give you some principles tonight. Principle number one is let God work his goodness in you. Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in us His goodness. Why is that? What's the ulterior motive? What is the ultimate intention of God? I'll tell you what it is. His ultimate intention is for us to be like Him. For us to be completely like Him. There's other things and blessings, but the ultimate thing is when we go to heaven, we are like Him, not like the world. And one of the things He's working in us is to be good. Let me tell you, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Your name, God wants to keep it good. We know people that have fallen, believers that have fallen, and you think of their name, and God restores and loves them, and I'm into restoration. I'm into helping people get back where they should be. But a good name, good comes from goodness. A person's character of goodness is associated with being good. His good pleasure is for us to be like Him. The second principle of God's goodness is that goodness forgives. There's a lot of folks today, they need simply just to forgive somebody. Look at Psalm 86, 5. For Thou, Lord God, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Listen, never forget this. When I forgive, I'm living in God's goodness. This principle, this formula here is not just for God, it's for us. God wants us to be this way. What? Ready to forgive? Plenteous in mercy? That's what He wants. Us to be plenteous. Now, sometimes people are good at forgiving quickly, but they're not plenteous in the mercy part. If we're going to live in God's goodness, in the land of His goodness, we got to be like Him. And that's one of the things God's working in us. The third principle of God's goodness is that goodness trusts. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You know, I've learned this, that trust is associated with experience. I must have experience with someone to trust them. That's why if you go to the grocery store and you see someone standing there you don't know, you're not going to say, you know, here's my bank account, here's my car keys, I trust you to do whatever you want. We would never do that. What's the problem? The problem isn't my ability or my willingness to trust, it's the lack of experience in that relationship with that person. You see, God says He's good, and you can trust Me. One of the things of the goodness of principles of God's goodness is, can people trust You? Can people trust Me? Oh, not perfect. We're not talking about perfection here. Can God trust My word? Can people trust My word? Do I say one thing and not do that? Integrity comes from a word that talks about, you know, they use it in a construction, the integrity of a building. It talks about a strength of character. My strength of character is totally directly applied to the amount that I keep My word to someone else. No more, more less, no less. Goodness, trust. The fourth one, principle, is goodness is expressed by kindness. I love this. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's talking about Jesus here. Jesus was kind, tenderhearted, forgave those. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Kindness displays God's goodness. Kindness, many times, is only shown to those that we really know really well. I want to encourage you. to show kindness to someone you don't know, someone that's undeserving. I remember one time I was going to, I think it was a 7-Eleven, and it was a mom and looked like her two daughters and a little toddler there, and you could tell they didn't have much money. And you could just tell they were, you know, looking for pennies and stuff. And so I said, you know what? I want to pay for this. Go find whatever you need and bring it up here. They couldn't believe it, first of all. They were like, what? It was kindness, you know. I'll never see him again, maybe in eternity. And I told him about the church. Oh, we know about the church. We know about Jesus. Amen, amen. See, sometimes if we just are kind to those around us in our immediate sphere, we miss a level of goodness. Jesus just didn't show kindness and goodness to the disciples. He showed it to a woman in adultery. He showed it to Legion, who was possessed by demons. And if the world is going to see the goodness of God, they're going to see it through us. So let's keep kindness a priority in our life. Amen. Number five, goodness is expressed in enduring or lasting friendships. Proverbs 18:24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, all of us go through stuff we wish we never went through. All of us deal with situations, family, children, husband, wife, cousins, co-worker. And what I've realized, if I don't process it right, I am not as friendly as I was before it happened. You know, friendliness today is a rarity. Most people don't really have a best friend like we used to. Maybe they were hurt by him. So what's going to overcome that thing so we don't just withdraw into a cave and live out our life here before God, just us? I love being friendly at Walmart. I love being friendly. I don't always get it back, but I love being friendly. How, you know, I do. I just love it. But so you got to realize that's not who I was 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I was more, you know, get this done, goal-oriented, this, get this done. But it's like the Holy Spirit has been working in that. And I can hardly go to the store now, and I'm looking around, oh, Lord, how can these people be saved? Can hardly go. I'm going for milk. Oh, I see this mother, single mother with children. Oh, God, how can we reach these people? I mean, it's like I wasn't that way 15 years ago. I went, okay, I got this in the store. See, it's in all of us, and you're going to find yourself, because as God's goodness is manifesting, you can't just do life normal anymore. There's something happening on the inside that goes beyond ourselves. The last one is goodness is expressed by serving. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Remember the words, seven greatest words you'll ever hear, well done thou good and faithful servant. The servant of the Lord, first of all, must not strive. And then let me give you four principles here. And these are, of course, attributes and characteristics of a servant. But let me give you four real quick. Number one, Paul says the servant must be gentle. What is gentleness? It's the approach of goodness. It's goodness's approach, gentleness. Roughness is not the goodness of God. You know, many times men think gentleness is a feminine type of attribute. That's not true. It's a godly attribute. Just think if God wasn't gentle towards us. Long forbearing, long suffering towards us. I thank God for his gentleness. Amen. But every time God is gentle with me, it's because he's good. And I sense his goodness. The second thing Paul said, the servant must be able to teach. What is that? That's the knowledge of goodness. That he's able to communicate God's goodness to someone. This isn't just talking about a preacher and a teacher. All of us are teaching someone. All of us are teaching the goodness of God. Third thing, he says to be patient. That's the unfolding of God's goodness. Patience, it's the unfolding. How many know sometimes when you unfold something, you can't do it in a second? So patience is the unfolding of God's goodness. A patient man is better than a warrior. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Just a patient man. I wish to God that I was born with patience. I wish to God I could go back when my children were growing up and have been more patient at times. I wish to God I'd been more patient when we first got married with my wife. Amen. Got quiet, but hallelujah. Amen. It's the unfolding of God's goodness. The fourth one, he talks about meekness. Meekness is the guidance of God's goodness through the highway, on the highway of humility. Meekness. Moses was the meekest man. He had to be. How could you deal with 2.5 million people that long? Jesus opened not his mouth. Meekness. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm 64 years old. I've lived 75% of my life. I want to live the rest of my days not only acknowledging the goodness of God, but I want to do the principles to stay plugged into that goodness. Because it's not enough just for me to be blessed. I thank God for his blessings and, you know, God, I got my blessing. Amen. But there's another reality. We talked about this is a life reality. There's another reality of blessing, and that is living in his goodness by my choice. It's not our choice whether God surrounded the earth with goodness. That's his choice. But it is my choice to make sure my principles I live with are parallel to his. If they're not, that's why we started off with this, don't follow evil or evil principles. Follow good ones. Stay in parallel with God. And let his goodness come. And as we said Sunday morning in Hosea, he said, you'll see his goodness in the latter days. How many believe these are the latter days? I believe these are the latter of the latter days. You'll see his goodness. Amen. Not his judgment, not his harshness, not his rudeness. God is not rude. He is so good. And sometimes you just need to get alone, get up in the middle of the night and just go down and put on some music and just lift your hands. God, you're so good. I can't even imagine if you hadn't come. I can't imagine where I'd be. I can't imagine the state of my mind. I can't imagine the state of my life if you hadn't been good. So I want to close with this. Let's all have a new perspective and a new understanding that as a child of God, every good and perfect gift, no matter how big, whether it's a check or a bless, whatever it is, it comes from Father God. And if we'll acknowledge that, then when the temptation comes for us to do sin or do evil, whatever that perspective is, we'll say, no, I'm staying connected with God. The reason God wouldn't take the 10 spies and all those that joined him into the land that flowed with milk and honey is they were not in sync with him. They would have complained that the grapes were too small. They would have complained the house didn't have air conditioning because they wouldn't let God circumcise them through the Red Sea. He saved them. They wouldn't allow him to his spirit to circumcise them, and thus they could not go. I don't know about you, but I definitely want to live in the goodness of God all the days of my life, because every good and every perfect gift is from the Father. If you're watching tonight and you're away from God, God loves you and his goodness is right there. If you'll just ask Jesus Christ into your heart, because he is the goodness of God. He's not mad at you. came to redeem you and save you. If you ask him into your heart tonight, he'll come in. If you'd like to contact us, our website is rockchurchofpetersburg.org. May God richly bless you as you keep the reality of his goodness in your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we stand up tonight? Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. Heavenly Father, each one of us now make a new commitment to look at every good and perfect gift, no matter how small what we think small. Since we're your child, everything comes from your hand, and we will give you the glory and the honor, for we've done nothing of ourselves. You've done everything. Lord, bless this week. Bless this time together. Lord, cause the season of Christmas to be so full of joy and hope that many will return to your house. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout. God bless you tonight. Amen.